Father of Knights, Father in Christ and most illustrious Prince, forgive me that I should dare to write to you. I make bold because it is my duty to serve you and to warn you of the crooked practices of those who claim to represent your grace. Christ did not command the preaching of indulgences, but of the gospel.
Forward this to Rome.
Christians are to be taught that he who gives to the poor or lends to the needy does a better deed than he who buys indulgences.
If the Pope can empty purgatory, why would he not do so out of love rather than for money?
My God, who is this Martin Luther?
Fritz?
What?
Dr. Luther wanted everyone to see that.
And everyone will.
Lord God, may the words that we study here remain in our hearts forever. Amen. So 500 years ago, there was a man who believed in something so much that he would take a bold step. And so 500 years ago, as the video was showing you, that a college professor took some nails and posted a big, long list of things he'd like to talk about, 95 of them, to be exact. And so this morning, we kind of take a look at what that means. What does that mean? To actually take something you believe in and actually put it into something where this needs to be a bold action. And so this morning, was Luther a troublemaker? Or was he someone that was daring? Do we look at him as someone who how dare you go against those placed above you, or what in the world were you thinking? And so this morning, we're taking a look at that. And this morning, I really want to ask you, so what reigns in you? What reigns in you? We've been getting a lot of rain in Minnesota, and we talk about that. Farmers can't get up in their fields to gather the crops. But in you personally, what reigns? Yeah. And so Paul takes you up on that. And if you would, read this with me. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And so Paul wrote that many, many, many years before Paul, and it's almost like we lost that. During Luther's time, you couldn't read the scriptures. Most people couldn't even read. And so that was lost. That was lost. And so what you knew was what you heard. And if what you heard was off, then what you knew and what you believed was wrong. And so here comes Luther, and Luther challenges, okay, if we're going to teach that Jesus Christ must be bought, that you actually have to pay money in order for God to love you so much that he would take you from this earth, this life, and purgatory and put you into heaven, then we need to talk about that openly. We need to talk about that openly. And so Luther didn't want to, he didn't want to take the Roman Catholic Church, and he didn't want to make a whole entire church. He said, you know what, we got to talk about this, because the Catholic, the universal, the one true faith, he said, we need to get back to that. Because he said, you know what, when I open up Scripture and I read from it, I read one thing, and that one thing is that, if we go on, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, So one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that's not what the church was teaching then. And yet Luther said, wait. If we're going to teach that death reigns in us, we also have to teach that the blood of Jesus Christ reigns over all. And that's a free gift. And we had lost that. We had lost that. We had forgotten. We had forgotten that grace comes through God himself and none other, not through me, not through anything I do here, but from the Word of God. And Luther said, we've forgotten that, we lost that. We need to get back to that. And so he takes the scriptures and he puts them into the common language, teaches people to read, teaches people to be in God's Word, to hear it, to read it, to think about it, to take it home, to teach your children, to take it to work, to whatever you do, to be discussed in that. Because what was important, what reigns in the life of the Christian is what Christ has done for him. And they lost that. And there's this one idea that what does the Reformation really mean? Does it really matter nowadays? That's been a big question, especially in the circles of pastors. Does it really matter? You see, we get into this debate of, you know, the culture is going against religion and Christ is being almost removed from everywhere you take a look and you take a look at what Luther was dealing with. He was dealing with a bunch of Germans. Not just that, really stubborn Lutherans. All right? And so when he goes around, he finds that these people have learned that grace is free. They don't need to pay. They don't need to work for their righteousness. So they put aside what they do for Christ. And all of a sudden, Luther comes and he points out that now that people know that grace is free, they almost abuse it. You think we have any stubborn Lutherans today? Do I have to apply the stubborn word, or is it come with the word Lutheran? That we have forgotten today. We have forgotten today that all the baggage that we have brought in here, that we have been set free by Christ to live a new life, and yet we look at the cross, we hear the words of forgiveness, and that's difficult for us to be able to say, okay, I can remember. I can remember yesterday, and God says, I don't. A God who knows everything, who has every piece of your mind, everyone's, and he says, I don't remember. What's it mean when you can't get over that? But yet he has. He has. What is it for you to hear those words that you are forgiven? To be able, even as a child does, sitting here, that thing that they, that loved one that has the heart, almost as if God is saying, I love you this much, that he would take and make one of the boldest statements ever. Luther didn't come up with the idea of taking a nail and making a statement. He was making a statement that Christ took those nails and he did it for the kids, for the people on those slips of paper. He's saying without those nails, there would not be a way. And Luther was saying, we need to get back to what it means for that cross, for those nails, the first nails, to pierce the hands of the one who would take away our sins. And so this morning, you may carry the scars of life on you, but let his scars be the one that triumph over anything and everything that has happened. Let his grace be free in your life and allow you to be able to live something new instead of something that the devil holds you to be. So what that I'm a sinner? So what? I know this man, Jesus Christ, and he has paid for it all. And the devil cannot look me in the eye when I look in the mirror and say, you're worthless, because the nails are what proclaim for me that I am worth everything in the world through the death of the Prince of Peace, that he has taken away my sins and remembers them no more. Forget your past. Live for Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that we pray, Lord, today, because there are so many things that are happening in our lives. So many things that would seek to tie us down. Lord, help us understand that these nails, Lord God, you are the one who paid for it all. And a man named Luther just simply came along and said, you know what, it's still a free gift. It was a free gift when he gave his life. It's still a free gift for us now. So we want to go on from here. In his name, amen. You know, the result was one man was bold enough in order to stand before a prince who could have taken his life, a king, an emperor, and he took a bold stand. Let's take a look at that.
Will you recant or will you not?
Since your majesty and your lordships desire a simple reply, I will answer. Unless I am convinced by scripture and by plain reason, and not by popes and councils who have so often contradicted themselves. My conscience is captive to the word of God. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe. I cannot. And I will not recant. Here I stand. I can do no other.